traditional approaches to discipleship. Many churches follow an approach to discipleship and ministry impact that looks something like this: meet Jesus, attend, connect, grow, serve, impact. While the traditional approach typically focuses on providing helpful classes, engaging small groups, and ample opportunities to serve, the level of change in people's lives tends to be minimal. So is the impact. In contrast, emotionally healthy spirituality books and resources are designed to help people experience beneath-the-surface transformation, spiritually and emotionally. Why? Because deeply changed people have a more powerful and more sustainable impact in the world. Changed people change the world. As a result of EHS, the transformation we experienced as a church, members, and leaders has led us to frontiers of life in the Holy Spirit that we could not have imagined. One recent example is my own leadership transition. After serving as senior pastor at New Life Fellowship for 26 years, and after a 4.5-year succession process, I shifted my role from senior pastor to teaching pastor / pastor at large. This has been a wonderful expansion and deepening for New Life. Other examples include the global impact our church has around the world, the creative outreach EHS has unleashed in people's witness to Christ in the marketplace, and the change it has produced in the culture and community in churches as a whole. Now it's your turn. I believe with all my heart that the principles and practices that have changed my life and lives in churches all around the world can change your life as well. This book, along with the EH Spirituality Course, is your invitation to a deeper and wider relationship with Jesus Christ, requiring you to journey into the unknown, much like Abraham did when he left his comfortable home in Ur. This combination of emotional health and contemplative spirituality, the heart of the message found in these pages, will unleash a revolution into the deep places of your life. This revolution will, in turn, transform all your relationships. So I invite you to read these pages prayerfully, thoughtfully, slowly. Pause when you need to in order to absorb the glimpses of God and yourself that the Holy Spirit provides along the way. Pray the prayers at the end of each chapter, slowly. Don't hurry. Each chapter could easily have been expanded into its own book. There is a lot of material here to chew on. Most importantly, I encourage you to savor and cherish the Lord Jesus Christ as you meet Him in these pages. The goal is to grow in your experience of Jesus, not merely add to your head knowledge about Him. John of the Cross, in the introduction of his book, The Living Flame of Love, noted that everything he wrote about his life with God was, quote, as far from the reality as is a painting from the living object represented, unquote. Nonetheless, he ventured to write what he did know. In a similar way, I invite you to receive what you read here as a painting that directs you to a richer, more authentic encounter with the living God in Christ. The real fruit of this book will be measured by the positive changes you begin to experience in your relationships with Jesus, with others, and with yourself. A lack of emotional health in the early years of my ministry almost cost me everything. My marriage, my family, my work, and my own well-being. I am thankful to God for His mercy. This mercy enabled me not only to survive, but to enjoy a richness and joy in the Christian life that I had given up believing was possible. If you are hungry for God to transform you as well as those around you, I invite you to continue listening. Chapter 1, The Problem of Emotionally Unhealthy Spirituality. Something is desperately wrong. Christian spirituality, without an integration of emotional health, can be deadly to yourself, your relationship with God, and the people around you. I know. Having lived half my adult life this way, I have more personal illustrations than I care to recount. The following is one I wish I could forget. Faith and the Pool. I met John and Susan while speaking at another church. They were excited and enthusiastic about visiting New Life Fellowship Church in Queens, where I was a pastor. On a hot, humid July Sunday, they made the long, arduous drive from Connecticut, with all the predictable traffic, to sit through our three services. Between the second and the third service, John pulled me aside to let me know they hoped to get some time to talk with Jerry and me. I was exhausted, but my greater concern was what their pastor, a friend of mine, would think. What would they say to him if I simply sent them home? What might they say about me? So I lied. Sure, I would love to have you for a late afternoon lunch. I'm sure Jerry would, too.